This podcast of the Radio Cafe comes to you via radiocafe.org, where you can find more information and many other podcasts. Technical support comes from Studio X, providing website design, hosting, e-commerce, and social media marketing, serving Santa Fe to the world since 1994. Find out more at studiox.com. And we're coming to you today from the Adelante program of the Santa Fe Public School System. I'd like to welcome back to the program Isabel Ribe. She's a family advocate program specialist here. And Jennifer Keene joins us. She's the elementary homeless liaison for the Adelante program. Welcome, ladies, to the Radio Cafe.
Thanks for having us.
Hello, thank you.
It's great to have you here, although I have to say it's sad and continually shocking that we have to bring to the airwaves year after year the issue of elementary school children and school children who are homeless.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the Adelante program. Tell us a little bit more what the program is about.
Yeah, so our program is a part of the public schools, and we serve the students and their siblings who are experiencing homelessness. Every year we serve about 1,700 kids, which is quite a lot. It represents about 10% of the school district. So our focus is keeping the kids in school, helping them to have what they need while their family is experiencing instability. And our primary focus is, you know, school supplies, transportation, food. And once we get those real physical necessities covered, then we're looking at more housing, case management, that kind of thing.
So 1 in 10 school children in Santa Fe is homeless.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. What are the situations like of these families?
You know, every family has a different situation. They're all unique. And one thing that I think should be pointed out is that homelessness in Santa Fe can happen to anybody. Any family can experience homelessness. And that's basically what we see here at Adelante.
When you say any family can experience homelessness, you sort of have the illusion, at least, that people with a reasonably good job or two parents working are stable.
And there's a question of what is a reasonably good job in Santa Fe for our low-wage families, you know, and what is job security as well. So, you know, any family, a lot of our families aren't two-parent families. A lot of them are single moms or single dads. And so they're supporting their family on one income. And a lot of those are service industry jobs, low-wage jobs, and sometimes you have, you're not sure of how many hours you're going to have per week, that kind of thing. But then anything that happens to any person, like you get the flu, you break your foot, your car breaks down, that's a big one. If you even miss one shift of work in a week, that can be enough to send a family over the edge.
And the family is sent over the edge because that person is then fired for missing one shift?
Because their paycheck is that much less and their bills snowball.
And so this is what you see. You see kids coming to school saying, I have no place to live?
Yeah, well, a lot of how our families actually come to us is through the registration process. So when a family goes to register for school, they have to provide certain things, birth certificate, proof of address, all of those things. If you're homeless, you don't really have a proof of address. And because we're a McKinney-Vento program, McKinney-Vento is a federal act that states that every school district in the country has to provide services for their homeless students. And that means certain things like you're not allowed to miss any school because of your homelessness. So then we can actually bypass that and get a kid registered for school without proof of address, without proof of immunizations, all of those things. You have, you know, the laundry list of documentation that you need, so that the kid is actually not missing any school. Another thing that we can do is to keep the kid at their school of origin, because our district, like many districts, are very strict about living in the zone per school. So if a kid is unstable and they're moving around a lot, we don't want them to have to change schools multiple times in a year, especially if they've been at the same school. So we can actually help them to stay at their home school.
And so where are these kids living if, let's say, their mom has gotten the flu, then gone back to work, but can't make ends meet to pay the rent? Where is this family actually sleeping?
A lot of our families Well, then if they get evicted, they lose their house, they'll end up moving in with a friend or a family member. So we see families who live, multiple families in a trailer home, multiple families in an apartment. And, you know, I remember asking one kid, well, how many people live with you? And he goes, oh, just me and my mom and my sisters. And I said, oh, okay. And he's like, oh, no, that's just who sleeps in my bed. So, you know, we see households where there's a family in the bathroom, that's where they live. There's a family who sleeps under the kitchen table. There's a family in each bedroom and in the living room. And so that's just an example. We do have a shelter system in Santa Fe. We have the Casa Familia, is the family shelter. We also have Esperanza, which is the shelter for battered families. So any family who is in any of those shelters will qualify for our program.
How do they then get to school? How do the kids get to school?
We actually help with transportation. So we coordinate with the school bus system to get them picked up where they are. So if they're in the shelter for 30 days, we make sure that the bus is picking them up from there. And depending on where they're living, we also provide gas cards and bus passes. So if the bus system isn't going to work, we help with gas to get them to school.
How are the kids doing emotionally? Like when you see them when they come in, it must be pretty rough on them to hold it together and to do their schoolwork, I would think.
Yes, I've experienced that myself. The students that I've been working within the elementary schools this year are trying their best to hold it together, you know, as you said. But with so many things on their plate, you know, it's very hard for them to be able to really get there and focus on their education, focus on, you know, what they're supposed to be doing at the moment. Oftentimes our students might not have eaten breakfast or, you know, had a really hard time getting to school. Sometimes there's a commute, you know, that's 45 minutes, sometimes even longer than that, depending on where they're living at the moment. And by the time they get to school, it is very hard for them to focus on their education and what's expected of them. And many times they do experience what people would call behavioral issues, quote unquote. But
what does that look like? What is that?
It all manifests differently in each child.
But for example?
For example, a student might not be willing to listen to what the teacher is trying to get them to do. And really it just has to do with trying to have control of what they can in that moment.
Now, what about the food piece? Do you feed them as well?
We do, yeah. We provide weekly groceries. So every Wednesday we provide a bag of fresh food. We also provide dry food whenever they need it. And we also, every Wednesday for many years, we've had a dinner where we serve dinner to our families.
Is there a stigma for the kids who are in this program? Is there any like shame about asking for food when they need it and things like that?
I haven't seen that so much. We are an anonymous program, so people don't generally know which kids are in our program in terms of in the school. I mean, the teachers and the counselors and the nurses might know, but in terms of the other students. But, you know, Jen has done this for sure, and I've done this over the years, go to actually talk in school classrooms about our program and what we do. And when we say that number, the 1 in 10, we just generally say, you know, that it's more likely than not than in any of your classrooms at any time that at least one kid in the room is homeless. And the kids are like, wow, really? but it really makes them think, you know, and that goes back to the piece of stereotyping and what do we think homelessness is. So especially, you know, kids are a good mirror of their parents, you know, they talk without a filter. And so then you get to see, it's a way of seeing sort of what the kids are thinking. So they might think that a kid who's homeless might be smelly, might not have showered, might be wearing the same clothes every day. And that's certainly not always the case.
There is so much that people don't know about homelessness in America, homelessness in Santa Fe. Could you talk about some of the stereotypes that people have versus the reality that you're seeing here among the kids and their parents?
One of the stereotypes that I have heard quite a bit is that that if a family is homeless, they're homeless because they chose to be. They aren't working, or they choose to spend their money on anything other than, you know, necessities. And that's completely untrue. You know, especially here in Santa Fe. People who are homeless in Santa Fe tend to be that way because circumstances have spiraled altogether to where it's created a situation where there's not a way to get out of it, you know, and it's created a financial instability that just lingers from month to month.
And often a family wants to be working more than they can. You know, it's really hard to find enough work to cover basic expenses.
And even with the Santa Fe so-called living wage, that's not enough to feed a family. It's really not enough to feed one person unless you're extremely
lucky.
Lucky or living with no rent or eating out out of dumpsters or whatever.
Yeah. And a lot of our immigrant population as well doesn't have access to the living wage, you know. So a lot of the immigrant families we see work in the hotel system, work in construction, different places like that, and they're not actually paid a living wage.
Although by law they have to be.
Yeah, but it's not by law.
Right. So we're talking to Isabel Ribe and Jennifer Keene about the Adelante program, and what this program points to is a much bigger situation in the United States that I think does not get proper coverage in the news, because when we talk about economic indicators, we're not, like, the economy is getting better, but it's not getting better for millions of people.
Mm-hmm. And that's part of what's so interesting about the McKinney-Vento Act. I actually had an opportunity to go to a conference in New York City a few months ago and meet people from all over the country who are doing this kind of work, but not necessarily through our lens, through McKinney-Vento lens, but maybe who work for family shelters in, you know, different cities around the country. And one thing that it really helped me to see was that, and meeting other McKinney-Vento coordinators from other parts of the country, is that we really have a more clear picture of what the needs are in a community. Because if you're going of a different definition of homelessness, which is, you know, you're sleeping in a car, you're sleeping on the street, or you're sleeping in a shelter, that's not actually giving the most full and accurate picture of who needs housing in our community and who's financially unstable in our community. So the McKinney-Vento Act includes families who are living in substandard housing. So we have families, I have a family who's living in a room in the back of a store in Santa Fe. They have no kitchen, they have no heat, they have no shower, they have no bathroom. It's a whole family in a store. And they're renting from the owner of the store. We have a family who lives in a storage unit in behind a house. It's like a shed. They draw an extension cord from the house, and, you know, but they can see to the outside through the slats in the wall. So those kinds of situations.
And in the winter, they're living when it's there. Yeah. 4 degrees outside.
Yeah. And we have families who are living without utilities that also qualifies for our program. So I have a family right now who's living in a trailer with no electricity, no water. And it's expensive to be poor. So things snowball. So say you can't pay your electric bill and you get a late fee, then your electric bill is even more than it was, and then you have 2 months. And then when you actually get disconnected, you get charged for that, you get charged extra to reconnect it, you know, and that's true for all of your utilities. It's expensive to get evicted, you know, there's all kinds of extra fees. And then when you want to get back into housing, then you have to pay first, last month's security, all of that stuff. It's not just coming up with the money to pay for the first month, you know, so it's really hard to get our families back into housing. And there's also not a lot of access to affordable housing in Santa Fe. We are really grateful for what does exist. But when we go down the list with our families, you know, a lot of places have a 6 to 8 month waiting list, if not longer. So a lot of times when we talk about family homelessness or homelessness in general, there's this concept of rapid rehousing, that the longer an individual or a family spends being homeless, the more compounding negative effects that's going to have. The trauma of instability, the trauma of not knowing where you're going to sleep, all kinds of things snowball with being in those situations. So what we look at is how can we get a family into permanent, stable housing as quickly as possible. And in Santa Fe, that's a really hard thing to do.
One of the things about affordable housing is that it's not really affordable for the people at the bottom of society. It's affordable for people in maybe the, you know, if the first quadrant is wealthy and the second is middle class and then the third is getting by. I mean, we're talking about the people really at the bottom. Affordable housing is still out of range.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially when you think of a rent costing anywhere from $800 to, let's say, $1,200 a month. Plus, you want to add in the cost of utilities, the cost of food, the cost of transportation, if they happen to have a vehicle. you know, all of that adds up to where it really is not very likely that a family living in that lower margin is going to be able to afford all of their expenses monthly.
That's mm-hmm. right. So another thing that we're seeing in Santa Fe is sometimes neither parent is available for the kid. Is that mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. So in Santa Fe and in northern New Mexico, really, we see a lot of grandparents raising grandchildren. That's because for a variety of reasons, one and both of the parents are not available. Often that is due to a drug problem. So the grandparents often step in. We have, I don't actually know the numbers, but we have many, many grandparents. And that's very hard because they don't get added benefits for that. Maybe they're living on Social Security. Maybe they have a little bit of savings, but they don't get more help for taking care of their grandkids. So all of a sudden they have all of these kids on that income.
Oftentimes there may be one or two kids that they take in originally from their family, their grandchildren, and then as time goes on, there ends up being more added. And
yeah. So we have several grandmothers in particular who have maybe six or seven grandkids.
Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. And they thought they'd gotten done with child rearing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And those kids are often coming from a lot of trauma, so they're acting out. They have all sorts of issues, and the grandma really has to take care of all of those things.
Now, you're seeing more students of color than white kids?
Mm-hmm. We generally do, and that's not just true in Santa Fe, that's true throughout the country, that kids of color and communities of color are overrepresented in the homeless population.
And why is that?
That is a big question, and I think that has to do with institutional racism in our country. I think communities of color tend to have less access to the quality education that leads to a well-paying career. It's a
affordable quality education.
Yeah. In Santa Fe, we have about 3% Native American students in the district as a whole. But Adelante has about 9%. So it is more than double what the school population is as a whole.
And you also have quite a number of immigrant students.
Yeah. It's true. So a lot of, and it's something we're seeing right now in particular, because we have so many families who are coming from Central America and from Mexico right now, who are fleeing horrendous violence and coming here to not just to seek a better life, which is the sort of narrative that we have about why immigrants come to this country, but really fleeing violence.
Right.
We have many families who have recently lost a loved one to violence in Latin America. And so there is this influx of families, and there's not a lot of understanding in the general community about what they're really going through. So there's a lot of prejudice, there's a lot of racism against immigrants in Santa Fe, but without that added understanding of what's actually going on for these families. So we have families who come in here and you wouldn't believe their stories. You know, they just lost a family member, witnessed horrendous violence, and then came walking and on top of trains all the way from Guatemala all the way here, you know, little ones, 3-4 years old.
And now they're in the Santa Fe public school
system. There's many, many students like that. And so many of our people in our community, unfortunately, just see another brown face, and they don't think to think about what might be behind that, what story might be behind that. So there's incredible trauma and a lot of need.
We also have students who have come unaccompanied.
Mm-hmm.
Even young students have come unaccompanied. Their family sent them to seek a better life, you know, mm-hmm. Sent them to live with relatives.
Yeah. So we've had, especially in the high school system, but also younger, we've had kids who are showing up completely on their own, who have crossed by themselves. The particular students I'm thinking of are probably between 14 and 16 when they come.
Oh my goodness.
And it's just amazing because, you know, we get to be in this position. It always makes me kind of emotional when we hear the stories of what happens in border crossing and in migration that are so horrendous. And there's so few welcome signs. There's so few helping hands along that road. And oftentimes we're some of the first people that these folks see when they come to Santa Fe, because they go to register their kids for school. And sometimes the school will just send them straight to us, even without knowing what their situation is. They're like, go to Adelante. And so these folks show up here and we get to be in the position of saying, welcome.
Yeah.
We're glad you're here. How can we help you? And we also there's an immigration attorney, Allegra Love, who has worked with us for some years. She provides immigration services for our families and for our youth, and in particular works on DACA, which is Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, which is a way of these students who are called the Dreamers. These are kids who were brought here when they were too young to have made it their own choice, you know,
yeah.
and are undocumented, and actually gives them a social security number for 2 years and allows them to work legally. So it's kind of cool because, and Allegra is, you know, she's the only lawyer I've ever heard of who's doing this, who it really works pro bono for all of her families. She set up the Santa Fe Dreamers Project, her own nonprofit, to be able to do that. So if you look at a map of the United States and they have like dots of where there's lots of DACA cases, Santa Fe is like the biggest blue dot because we've had so many successful applications, and that's because of Allegra.
So it's not that there's more people, it's that there's an attorney who cares yeah. enough to help.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I mean, there are so many people falling through the cracks in other parts of the country, and you wonder, I mean, they're probably better off here than in a situation where street gangs are targeting their families.
Absolutely, they are, yeah.
But it's still not great.
They still face a lot of challenges when they come here, yeah. yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's another piece that I wanted to talk to you about. We're talking to Jennifer Keene and Isabel Ribe of the Adelante program in the Santa Fe Public Schools. And that is, in this whole question of homelessness among people who are working here, one of the real problems that is behind all of this is the ever-decreasing strength of the unions and ever-decreasing union membership. What mm-hmm. does that look like, and how does it affect the public schools and homelessness?
Well, it's really just that our families don't have anyone who's advocating for them. They don't have a lot of job security. They don't have a lot of wage security. We've had issues with wage theft and with many different businesses in Santa Fe where they just simply don't pay their workers. They hire temporary workers for 2 weeks to do a project, and then they just don't pay them. So really, it just doesn't exist for our families in Santa Fe. We don't have a hotel workers union that our families are part of, restaurant workers union. So they're really just at the whim of their employer.
Those people, I mean, we do have Somos un Pueblo Unido mm-hmm. who goes after those people, but what would you call it? The cruelty that it takes to hire somebody for 2 weeks and not pay them is just staggering. I just don't even understand it.
Yeah, it's really hard. And it's really hard when that family has been looking forward to that, and they were so excited that they were able to land that job, and then it doesn't come.
What kind of jobs are we talking about?
Oh, I'm just thinking of one mom who was stocking shelves at a grocery store chain store at night, and they hired her and a bunch of other women and never paid them. But also where that happens most is definitely individuals who are hiring for construction jobs and landscaping gigs and stuff like that, and then they just never. But Somos has been very successful with certain restaurants that were having big issues with not paying their workers.
Right, and wage theft and not paying overtime and things like that. Yeah. Are they also going after these chains in these other cases?
You know, I'm not actually sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and then another thing is like big corporations that a lot of our families work at. We've had so many. It's interesting. When I started this job 5 years ago, I was also working with, particularly with teen moms. And now that I've been here over the years, I've gotten to see those same moms over the years and how their lives have developed. And some of them have had more kids, but not all of them. But there was a mom who was in here who I had met when she was at Santa Fe High as a teen mom. And she was working at a big corporate store, and her kid got meningitis and was in the hospital. And so she's a single mom. What's she going to do? She called in every time that she was missing a shift, you know, and they let her go.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have a lot of responsibility. They don't feel a lot of responsibility.
Right, because workers are seen as industrial units rather than as human beings.
Yeah,
right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is what we're facing here in Santa Fe, and a lot of people who are living in parts of town where this is not visible have not the slightest idea mm-hmm. and are not necessarily giving their money to where it's needed.
Yeah.
I mean, it's wonderful to give money to the arts and the things that make Santa Fe a wonderful place to live, but here we are. What if somebody decided that they did want to choose to make donations and to take a stand about this? What can people do, people who are surviving just fine and then some in mm-hmm. Santa Fe?
Well, the first thing they could do is go to www.adelantesantafe.org and click on the donate button. We are part of the public schools, but we're entirely funded by grants and donations, so we really do depend on our community to survive, really. We're also having our big annual fundraiser this week, April 15th, this Friday, at the Hilton Santa Fe. So it'll be from 5:30 to 8 at the Hilton. It's a great night. We have monologues from our students and from our parents. We have some musical performances that Jen is actually doing some of those. She's been rehearsing with the kids. It's been great.
Yes, I've gotten the chance to work with a few of our younger students, our elementary students, and they're really excited about singing in front of everybody and performing.
So yeah.
What kind of songs are they singing?
They're singing Imagine
okay.
by John Lennon, and then we're going to be singing Lean on Me by Bill Withers. Both songs that I think are very important to show that the message of being unified always.
Yeah, we're also going to have a really great silent auction. I'm putting all the stuff in the register for the silent auction. I'm like, ooh, I want to bid on that. We're also auctioning like an African safari and all kinds
of
things.
Oh my goodness.
So we have, it's going to be a great night. The dinner's being provided by the Hilton. They're donating the evening. So we're really grateful for that.
For more information, once again, adelantesantafe.org. That's A-D-E-L-A-N-T-E, santafe.org. Isabel Ribe and Jennifer Keane, thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Marichelle. It's great to be here.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. To support the program, you can go to radiocafe.org. Many thanks to StudioX.com for their technical support and web design.